We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When did I lose control of this show?
You know, it was a long time ago, Mink. Not only you lost control of the show, I lost control of the show. This show's been out of control for so many years. It's incredible.
I mean, I was brought back here to have control of this program, and look what has happened.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Minko. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
And it is... You are the inspiration for Spanky and Our Gang starting us off with their 1967 song about Sunday never being the same, because you are the one who came out with this statement that your sports update today started a new chapter in the history of WFAN. And of course, you're one of the originals from day one of WFAN, about to celebrate another anniversary, as WFAN in 2 weeks' time will move into another milestone here, and on July 1st. But the way that you characterized the lineup that debuts today on WFAN, I'd like you to share this with our listeners.
No, we have a good lineup. You know, no particular name.
You phrased the lineup as WFAN's Murderers Row lineup.
There we go.
Now, that is power, Mink. That is absolute power. Those are your words.
Well, you're the leadoff hitter.
You know, there's a lot of responsibility with that.
That's right.
Because as a leadoff hitter,
you get on base.
One of the key things is to get on base. Then coming up behind me batting is a debut of a show. Starts at 7 this morning. May have heard some things about it. May have read some things about it. Talking Golf, Ann Liguori, another original voice from WFAN, will be along talking golf, appropriately enough, here starting this Sunday morning after our 7 o'clock update on The Fan. And then, of course, Rick Wolf is along with the Sports Edge after 8. Ed Randall talks baseball after 9. And as you've mentioned, we've got coverage of the Yankees' Old Timers Day festivities. Quite a day. Legendary. And a brilliant programming move starting things off today like this, too. With this Murderers Row lineup. Remember, you're the one who's responsible for that name.
I understand.
You are responsible for that.
All right, I got to go.
Well, we've got a busy show today. We're with you now between 6 and 7 on Sunday mornings. And good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Salter. Pleased to be joined from a technical direction today by Kara Ann Galante. She's always one of our favorites to have here on Sunday mornings. And in our show today, we're getting into an interesting area because, first of all, we have a guest who is joining us from England. Her name is Rachel McClelland. Rachel has a very interesting background, and we're going to be talking about the consumption of meat in our program today. This is theoretically the last day of World Meat-Free Week. Now, some of you are thinking, meat-free week. What's this all about? Rachel is joining us by phone on our program. First of all, Rachel, good morning and welcome to The Fan in New York.
Good morning, Bob, and happy Father's Day to you and all the great men out there.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us on our program. Your background is quite an interesting one because you've been an animal rights activist and environmentalist, but I introduced you by talking about this idea of World Meat-Free Week. We're theoretically at the last day of that. What's the significance of this designation?
So, World Meat-Free Week, to give you a little bit of background, was set up many years ago as a global initiative to highlight the link between meat production and consumption and climate change. And it's specifically with reference to intensive or factory farming, which is proving to be very unsustainable and very inefficient. And just to give you a little bit of data, there was a report published last week by Oxford University, and they'd analysed 40,000 farms and all aspects of the supply chain of meat, and found that 83% of agricultural land is used for animal farming, but it only yields 18% of calories. So there's a big disconnect, and you know, just those figures demonstrate just how inefficient it actually is. So World Meat Free Week is about just saying to people, if you cut down slightly, and we're saying one meal a week, you know, we're not asking people to go vegetarian or vegan. We absolutely don't expect that. You know, meat is inherent in our culture and has been for many years. But just by going meat-free for 1 week, you can have a huge impact on the environment, which will in turn lead to a sustained planet for future generations.
All right. What's been the reaction to even that idea being put forth? I mean, because you're not saying to people that, you know, you have to give up meat, cold turkey, no pun intended, literally on the spot. What's been the feedback?
Most people are kind of, oh, I don't understand. Hang on a minute. You know, nobody's been talking about this. And many people, once they do understand, are, well, I can do that. Yeah, that sounds fine. You know, one meal a week, you know, years and years ago, post-war, we only ate meat once a week or whatever. So it's, you know, it's only the last probably couple of decades that meat consumption has really shot up. There are, you know, some meat eaters that are kind of, you know, don't tell me what to do, which completely understand and respect, you know, and it's kind of, yeah, I eat meat every day, or I train a lot, I need it. But what we're saying is if you just swap it out and literally one meal a week, there are so many plant-based alternatives and lots of brand alternatives. And it's actually really interesting and quite exciting to experiment with new foods and new tastes. So generally, the feedback's been very positive indeed.
All right. Now, in introducing you, I said you have an interesting background because among the things that you've done, you've worked in the entertainment industry. How did you get into the kind of work that you're doing today, both as an activist in animal rights and also environmental work?
Yeah, so I was working in feature films and music videos and worked with some amazing artists, very well-known global names. And I'd done a couple of really good jobs that had gone brilliantly. And then we came to one project, which basically turned into a complete nightmare, and the third party responsible for paying my company didn't end up paying us. So I basically, it was a big budget project, and I basically lost everything. So my business and personal finances completely crashed and burned, and this led to me, well, I plunged into depression essentially and had a really horrific time. You know, went to my local GP. We're really fortunate in England, as you know, we've got a health system which is free for the most part. But our GPs are under a lot of pressure. So you kind of get a 10-minute slot. And unfortunately, GPs are having to reach for medication. And my whole thing was, no, I don't want to take medication. I really want to get to the root cause of this. That was right for me. It's not right for everybody, obviously. But it really was one of the worst times of my life. And it got to the point, you know, I had bailiffs knocking on my door because I was literally had no money to pay council taxes and things like that. And that, once I came out, I started to come out of that. I saw a psychotherapist who was absolutely amazing, and I was referred to the psychotherapist by my doctor, who knew that I wasn't going to take the medication he wanted to give me. And it took a long time to come out of it, but I had a bit of a realization, and I started thinking, you know, what's my purpose in life? I want to do something that matters. And ultimately that led, I started doing a lot of writing, and I write a blog, The Beautiful Life, which is all about ethical living. And I then slowly started to combine the journalism and filmmaking with the causes, you know, environmentalism and animal welfare, etc., that I'm really passionate about. And that led to the World Meat Free Week project. So it's been a real blessing. I've been very lucky indeed.
And when you've done the work that you have with World Meat Free Week, I mean, what's the hope that, I guess, comes out of this? Because this is obviously intended to be something more than just a 7-day effort.
Absolutely. You know, this week is just the start of it. We're hoping that, I think once you plant that seed in people's conscience, they do start to think about it. I know I do. And once you learn about things, you know, knowledge is power and all that. So we hope that people will look into it more and actually understand that one person can really make a tangible difference. For example, we've got quite a bit of scientific data. So if one person goes meat-free just for one meal, they can save the carbon equivalent of boiling the kettle 388 times. And if the whole of America goes meat-free just for one meal, you can save the carbon equivalent of the energy it takes to power 110,000 households for a full year. So actually, we really can make a difference, because all over the last few years, so often I've heard people saying, oh, well, I can't make a difference. One person's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things. But one person really can. And that's the exciting thing about it.
Okay.
So we hope that, sorry.
I want to follow with you on a number of different areas, also give a way for folks who are listening to us to get more information on some of the things that you're talking about. Let's take a pause in our discussion with Rachel McClelland on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. A lot more to get to with her. Stick right where you are. And good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. We're in discussion with Rachel McClelland on our program. We're with you up until 7 this morning. Rachel, as I mentioned, as background, having worked in the entertainment industry, she's an animal rights activist and environmentalist. She's joined us here at the end of World Meat Free Week and talking about the significance of that. For people who are interested in perhaps finding out more about some of the things that you were talking about today, is there any sort of an online resource where they can go?
Yes. So the website is worldmeatfreeweek.com. And on there is loads of information about this link between meat production and consumption and climate change. There are really useful articles and blogs about things like how to make sure you get enough protein if you do reduce meat intake. And there are loads of recipes. There are downloads. So there's a 7-day meal plan, which features 3 meals a day. So you can download that as well. So it's really useful.
You know, as you said that, I'm thinking that is one of the key things, because most people want convenience, okay? And they sometimes are resistant when they think that things are going to become too complicated. But it sounds like you've almost thought this through for them.
Yes, definitely. And I think these days there are so many quick and easy meat replacement options. I know in the States there are, we have Quorn, which I know you have in the States as well. So my go-to backup meal is fishless fingers, which are really good. I know over there you've got Beyond Meat, which I tried one of their burgers actually whilst I was in Texas where we were filming 2 or 3 months ago. So it really is easy. But also, if you want to go more whole food, which obviously is a great option, you know, it is actually quite easy. And just with a little bit of preparation and a bit of planning, you can make the most amazing meals. And it does seem, I know when we're all so busy, nobody can be bothered trying something new and having to go shopping for specific ingredients. But actually, by adopting a more of a perhaps a vegetarian diet or just reducing meat, it opens up a whole world of different tastes and textures. And I think also by planning meals, we then do cook more and we do cook more whole foods. You know, I know a diet which is rich in vegetables is rich in fiber and folic acid and vitamin C and E and lots of phytochemicals. And the knock-on effect of that is a reduced risk of various cancers and heart disease and diabetes and obesity. So, and that's just with reducing meat. You know, if you recall back in 2015, the World Health Organization said, well, recommended that we reduce red meat, especially processed meats, which are categorized as a group one carcinogenic, you know. So it's win-win for everybody. And like I said earlier, we're not saying to people, you must cut meat out. We would never do that. That's, you know, that's just not the right way forward. But it's this notion of one meal a week, you know, that really can have an amazing personal and environmental impact.
Now, I'd be remiss if I also did not ask you, because some of the people who are listening to our discussion today will think, well, wait a minute, what exactly does Rachel eat?
Well, I'm plant-based, so I was brought up in a Northern England working-class family, so we ate loads of meat, so everything from lamb chops to meatballs to fried Spam, we ate it, you know, and I went vegetarian from being about 17, but over the years, I did eat bits of chicken and fish, and then I went vegan a couple of years ago, and I'm really loving it. Now, and don't get me wrong, it was quite a transition, you know, and I did from time to time eat some scrambled egg or something because I thought, God, I don't feel like I'm getting enough protein. But now I make a lot of things. So I basically make everything that we would normally have as meat eaters. So lasagnas and quesadilla and pasta dishes. So I make all sorts of different cuisines, but using things like chickpeas and cashew nuts and black beans, all of which have loads of protein in them. And it probably sounds like really boring hippie food, but with some great herbs and spices and a bit of experimentation, it is actually amazing what you can do. I make this thing, this cashew cream, which is what I use instead of cheese in a quesadilla. And I actually, don't get me wrong, when I used to come to New York a lot, I used to go straight to the Mexican for my chicken quesadilla. I used to love them. But I actually prefer this vegan version of a quesadilla that I've now kind of created and adapted. So really varied. And obviously, vegetables are seasonal. So every season, there are new things to try and experiment with. So it's lots of fun.
Okay, because you just raised an interesting point that often comes up with when people are in any sort of, you know, very often people get into these diet plans, and as a result, when they travel, they're then in kind of a quandary, okay?
Yeah.
When you travel, how do you, I guess, also meet the needs of what you're trying to maintain when you're home?
Yeah, I mean, traveling is hard. It's a lot easier probably just this last 6 months or year because there are lots of key brands who are now selling vegan sandwiches and stuff, you know. So that makes it a lot easier. But, you know, I tend to make sure I've got a bag of nuts in my bag, in my purse, so that I know I can get instant energy and protein. You know, I eat lots of fruit, dried fruit. So, and I always have some chocolate with me. Mm-hmm. So I always have a block of dark chocolate for instant sugar and energy. So it is difficult. And, you know, I would say to anybody who decides to reduce meat slightly, don't be hard on yourself. You know, if you're really busy and you're traveling and it's just impossible and you're just kind of, I'm just going to grab that burger. That's fine, because if you're just thinking about it and you're thinking, I am going to reduce meat just slightly and maybe introduce new meals and new types of vegetables to my children or whatever, I really applaud that. Any effort should be really applauded. But at the same time, if you lapse, then that's absolutely fine, because we're human. And as I alluded to earlier, meat culture has been inherent in the human way of life for thousands of years. So there's no overnight fix and overnight change, but, you know, it's just one tiny step at a time, you know.
We're talking with Rachel McClellan on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. Anne Liguori is talking about golf debuts after our 7 o'clock update on WFAN. Now, one of the things that I've been thinking about, too, you've alluded to this, is this idea of the link between meat production and climate change. Is there a way that you can kind of break that down for folks who are listening to us? Because some people may hear that and think, well, wait a minute, is this going to be something that's very complex and difficult to understand?
Yes. So just to go back quickly to one of the first stats that I mentioned, and then I'll just explain a little in a little bit more detail. So 83% of the world's agricultural land is used for animal farming, but that only yields 18.18% of calories. So the calories attributed to the food that yields. Now, in addition to that sort of inefficient use of land, meat production is responsible for 14.5% of global greenhouse gas emissions, which is about the same as the global transport system. So over the years, you know, governments and environmental organizations have talked a lot about transport and about the terrible impact it's having, but actually meat production is having the same sort of impact. And on top of that, 80% of tropical deforestation stems from agriculture, and farming also uses 70% of the world's freshwater resources. So we're putting this massive burden on the earth, and we're not really reaping the rewards in terms of the food we're getting from it. And if you consider that by about 2050, we're going to have about another 2 billion people on the planet, and they're all going to need food and nourishment. And already, according to the United Nations, this year we have over 800 million people suffering from chronic undernourishment. There is going to be an awful lot more people suffering from starvation, and there's going to be more of a burden on the earth. And that's how critical it is. We're talking 20, 30, 40 years' time when our children and grandchildren are needing to use the earth's resources, and they simply won't be there in a plentiful enough supply to sustain the human race. So it really is an urgent issue that needs, you know, that we need to act upon.
All right. Now, you've led perfectly to my question. Do you think, and I'm usually a cynic with things, Rachel, do you think most people really care?
Very good question. Well, you know, it is so easy to disassociate and to live our lives and to just think, oh, I'm just going to have this bacon sandwich, or I'm just going to have this steak, or, oh, I'm just going to jump in my car to the local shop. It doesn't matter, you know. And yeah, you know, I'm guilty of it. We all are. We all take these shortcuts because we're really busy, and, you know, we've evolved as a human race, and we do just kind of put ourselves first. I hope that people start to think a little bit about it and actually start to bring it down to a personal level, because this will impact every people who are, you know, the sort of me, I'm middle-aged, you know, middle-aged people. Our children are going to be directly impacted by this. I mean, we're already seeing impact, you know, because of climate change and all sorts of horrific weather issues that are going on. But, you know, in a few years' time, the children, the people we leave behind, are going to be in a real predicament, you know. And it's okay not caring, and it's okay just kind of switching off from it. But is it not empowering to know that we can make a difference? And this goes back to, you know, finding a purpose in life and the notion that altruism is scientifically proven to positively impact how happy we are. So just doing a little bit of something, whether it's cutting meat out once a week, whether it's helping a local environmental group or something completely different. You know, if you're helping people, it's good for your own mental health as well as the people and the planet, you know, the people around you and the planet. So surely, even if people don't care, maybe just think about that level of selfishness and think, oh, actually, it might make me feel good, though, if I do a little bit of something to help.
And also the whole idea, because an undercurrent to what you're saying is the idea of thinking about the future, thinking about something more than just today.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And just to add, I'm sure there are people thinking, yes, but what about farmers? You know, we have millions of farms around the world. And what you're saying is basically going to, you know, close them all overnight. But actually it isn't, because we have to be very sympathetic and empathetic towards the farming community. You know, they are the suppliers and they were the innovators for many years, you know, in the supply of food. So we have to find a way of working with them to, for example, use their land to yield more food. So, for example, 1 acre of land will yield 250 pounds of beef. But it could otherwise, if suitable for arable farming, it could otherwise yield 50,000 pounds of potatoes or 50,000 pounds of tomatoes. So we need to perhaps look at new innovations and work with farmers to find new business models, you know. And actually, there are so many new opportunities arising, and it might bring about more sustainable business systems for the farmers so that they're not under these constant pressures and having to rely on governmental subsidies, you know. So there's a lot of positivity around this as well.
It's a new way of thinking and a new approach, which, quite frankly, lots of times that's usually a welcome change also. Rachel McClelland is talking with us this hour of our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. I'm Bob Salter. We'll have more with Rachel as we continue in our discussion. Just a reminder that after our 7 o'clock update, it is the debut of Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. That program is long after our 7 o'clock update this Sunday morning right here on The Fan. I'm Bob Salter. We're in discussion with Rachel McClelland on our program this Sunday morning. Rachel is an environmentalist and an animal rights activist. She's been talking with us about World Meat Free Week and sharing some thoughts on this topic of meat consumption, and also talking a little bit about the relationship of that with climate change as well. A couple of thoughts that I've had throughout our discussion. One of them gets into this idea of what it is that you would say to somebody who's of the belief, and they're somebody who falls in the category of being a meat eater, who says that what you're talking about is not that person's responsibility.
Yeah, so as a former meat eater, I completely understand why people want to eat meat and, you know, that it is very much inherent in our culture. So I totally respect that. But I think we are at such a critical stage in terms of the planet and the fact that at the moment it's so severely damaged that it's pretty urgent that we act and do something about it. So we're not saying stop eating meat. We're just saying we should all, as a human race, be accountable and be a little bit responsible. And, you know, we take and take and take from the earth. And we just need to balance that a little bit and just give a little bit back. And, you know, if only to leave a legacy for the next generation and the generation after and so on. And it is so powerful, the impact that one person can have. It's kind of a case of if, you know, we shot 5 films all over the world and we encountered ranchers and butchers, and they've all embarked on this new lifestyle because they've realized, they've had a bit of an awakening and thought, gosh, you know, actually I can make a difference and I'm going to do that. And we're not asking people to go to the extremes that some of these people that we encountered went to, but we're just simply saying, cut out meat once a week. It's better for your health and it's better for the environment. And it will, you know, almost result, well, it will result in the planet being there for your children and grandchildren.
Going all over the world, filming like you have been, what would you say stood out as, let's say, the top one or two highlights of that experience?
Oh, going to Texas. I went to, we went to, we filmed on a ranch, Rowdy Girl in Texas.
Okay, we had done an interview, actually, a little over a year ago. With, I guess it's, was it Renee King?
Renee.
Talking about Rowdy Girl. So some of the people listening to us may remember that discussion. But what was that experience like?
Oh, gosh. I had a complete awakening at their ranch. They are very genuine, incredibly kind people, Renee and Tommy. And just hearing a bit of the history, you know, Tommy's from a multi-generational family of ranchers, and to make this, make a stand and to actually think, I can't do this any longer. Renee is a bit more about the ethical and the animal rights reasons, as I am myself, and Tommy's reasoning was health and environmental. But to, in the heart of ranch land, to make that stand and turn your ranch into a sanctuary, you know, to put yourself at risk like that in the face of adversity, because you can imagine what their contemporaries were thinking about it and all the other ranchers in the area. And to do that, I just thought, these people are just incredible and they're so humble with it. And I thought, you know, if ranchers can do that, anyone can. And until I went there, I was still, I'd gone vegan, but, you know, as I said earlier, I was still, every now and then, I'd have a bit of cheese or egg. And when I went there and I was with Tommy and Renee and all their animals, I just had a complete awakening and thought, I can't, I'm never going to consume anything that comes from an animal again, which I know is extreme, you know, compared to what, how we've been brought up generally. But for me, it was, I completely found my peace in life, and I feel more at peace now in my life than I ever have. And so for me, it was one of the best days of my life.
Isn't that a tough thing to do, to never consume anything that comes from an animal again?
Yes, it is. It's not for me now, because obviously I've been thinking about this for years and years, and you know, it's, I work in this area, so I see what happens and I understand about the animal welfare implications, etc. So it is a tough thing to do. But then somebody actually said to me, well, if you're going to eat a bit of cheese, think about, you know, is the taste of that bit of cheese more important than the suffering of the animal and what happens to the environment as a result? And I was kind of, wow, yeah, that's very powerful. So for me, it's, you know, I was brought up, I've always been, well, my best friend was a dog from being about the age of two. So I've always loved animals. So I guess it was a lot easier for me. But I experience challenges and difficulties too. So yes, for a fervent meat eater who is, you know, steak most days or all kinds of different meat, it is difficult, you know. But I think these days there are so many alternative options, meat replacement meals, etc. And there are, you know, there's so much information out there as well about how to make sure you have a healthy, balanced diet if you do reduce or cut out meat. So it is a lot easier, and it is just about give yourself a little bit of time, and you know, don't be hard on yourself if you do decide to reduce ever so slightly. But it is a lot easier these days.
And on a global level, what do we need to do? What needs to be done to really, I guess, in a way, kind of explode the message that you're trying to get out?
It's down to us individual people. You know, it's we are the only people who can really save our planet. You know, we can't rely on government to do so simply because governments have so many different things to deal with. And I think, unfortunately, over the last few years, governments have sort of ticked their environmental awareness box through highlighting things like plastics and air pollution, because I think the whole notion of meat production and climate change is quite a fragile area for governments to enter into, because, you know, I think it's very much entwined with politics and the farming industry. You know, I know certainly in the EU, we still offer farm subsidies to, you know, all the farmers here. So unfortunately, we can't rely on government to push this message out there. Hopefully that will change. But people power, we can achieve so much. We can actually change the world, you know. And that, to me, is just so empowering, to know that I can personally make a difference. And if you make a tiny difference, you talk about it. So you share those ideas with your friends, and they share them with their friends. And before you know it, you've actually probably positively impacted or influenced hundreds and hundreds of people. So I think that's just incredible.
The people that you met while doing the films, in many cases, are doing extraordinary things. For some of the people who are listening to us, they, you know, may at times get kind of intimidated, because it's kind of a thing of, well, what could I really do?
Well, you know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, literally just cutting out meat once a week, you will make a massive difference. And that's amazing. That's exactly what we want people to do through this World Meat Free Week campaign and onwards, you know. I mean, we've encountered some incredible people, but they are only just people. They're just like you and me. You know, for example, we filmed with a butcher in Australia, James, who was working as a butcher, and he'd watched some films over a few months about animal welfare and plant-based living, etc., and thought, you know, gosh, I don't feel comfortable doing this anymore. And he couldn't leave his job because he had a young family, and he was constantly trying to balance what he was thinking and what he was doing on a daily basis. And overnight he sort of decided, no, I'm going to go vegan. So he went vegan, carried on working as a butcher for a few months, and now he's just in the process of changing his job and sort of starting a new life, really. And he's just a regular Australian guy, really lovely, very down to earth. But he's just started this thing, and this little idea in his head has actually caused or has actually resulted in this lifestyle shift, which is really great. And we also met Luke, an athlete in Singapore, who was a very unhealthy child suffering from obesity. And his dad was always at the gym. So Luke started going to the gym with his dad. And when he was an adult, he was training loads, eating a kilo of meat every day. And then he started doing some research and understanding about the link between meat and climate change, etc. And so he went plant-based overnight as well, and now he's a really quite well-known athlete and very healthy and very dedicated. You know, and it's just, I think as humans, we are capable of so much. And yes, any sort of change is hard. Change is scary. But, you know, we're not asking people to change overnight or to do anything huge. It's literally one meal. So tonight, if people listening to the show, just choose a meat-free meal. And as I say, there's loads of inspiration on the website. But just tonight, you can make a huge difference.
Okay, would you repeat the web address that you mentioned earlier?
Yes, www.worldmeatfreeweek.com.
So that's World Meat Free Week, and that's done all as one word, .com. We're talking with Rachel McClelland on our program On the Fan this Sunday morning. I'll just mention the fact that after our 7 o'clock update, it is Anne Liguori's Talking Golf that debuts here on the Fan. Now, Rachel, when we're talking about the efforts of World Meat Free Week, and we look at this period of time after today, okay, because the week officially ends today. How can people continue this effort? What can they do to continue it?
Well, literally, just decide one day a week to go meat free, you know, or just one meal a week. So, and there are so many resources out there now. There's, as I said earlier, there's loads of recipes on the World Meat Free Week website, and there are countless bloggers and people on social media who offer useful recipes. There's loads of video recipes available, so it's really easy. But I think in terms of carrying on, I just read up on it, you know, understand it a little bit. And, you know, it's a lot to take in, you know, and we're not asking people to dramatically change their lifestyle overnight, but it's just a gradual thing. Just sort of try to read a little bit about it and understand it, and know that as everyday people can really make a difference to the world.
With the various things that you've been involved in your life, as you've explained earlier to us, you know, whether it was your work in the entertainment industry, the activism with animal rights and the environment, when you look back on your life, what do you want to be remembered? What do you want to feel you have achieved?
I want to know that I've made a difference to the planet and all of the animals. I want to know that I've helped bring about a better, more peaceful world, which is more about equality for all species.
And making a difference, literally, as you've explained throughout our discussion, can start with one person.
Yes, completely.
It is something that's definitely possible. A very interesting discussion with our guest on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning, Rachel McClelland, as I mentioned, and her background has worked in the entertainment industry. She's been an animal rights activist and environmentalist, and has shared information with us talking about this topic of World Meat Free Week, which officially ends today. World Meat Free Week, that's all as one word, .com. is the website. There's lots of information there, including information on some alternatives to meat consumption and some information along the lines of some of the things that Rachel has shared with us in our discussion, too. It's one thought with you that I didn't ask earlier, and some of the people listening may think of this. With your move to lessen meat consumption, what do you do around the holidays?
Me personally,
mm-hmm.
Around holidays, it's all plant-based food that I eat anyway, and it's delicious. So I always have our Christmas lunch is a butternut squash, mushroom and chestnut Wellington with loads of roast potatoes, loads of gravy, and it's absolutely amazing.
That sounds good. Now I'm getting hungry. Okay. All right.
Are you going to go meat free tonight, Bob?
You know, I think I am going to try this. All right. Rachel,
amazing.
You've provided me with the right kind of inspiration. Thank you very much for joining us on our program and sharing this information, too. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Oh, thank you so much.
You have yourself.
Have a great day.
Have a great day as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.